I stand by my statement. The Dodgers will win the World Series.
Oh, man. Oh, boy. Plasky gone, so are the Dodgers. How the Diamondbacks pulled off the shock of the postseason. And the Phillies' irresistible trolling of Atlanta. And the perfection of the Las Vegas Aces last night. And the joy of your first goal? Question mark. And Denver and Kansas City tonight. Let's go around the horn.
Bill's already picking the Lakers to win. He's got the Lakers winning the NBA.
Bill Plaschke.
LA Kings winning the cup.
Oh, Bill, Bill, Bill.
Some of us might have watched baseball games with Bill this week.
What did you think? USC.
The Arizona Diamondbacks. Can somebody say their name? The Arizona Diamondbacks. An 84-win team, as they keep telling us. Negative run differential, sweeping through Milwaukee, and then LA, who they finished 16 games back of. It's the biggest win in this format's history. The four home runs the Arizona Diamondbacks hit in the third inning, blowing the roof off the already opened roof of Chase Field. Go crazy, Arizona. Baseball playoffs have gone crazy. As for the Dodgers, there's the what happened question. They started Lance Lynn, and he surrendered those four home runs in one inning. And there's the what has happened over and over again question. Their fifth 100-plus win team in the last six full seasons, ending in crushing disappointment and no World Series. Clinton Yates, where did it go most wrong for the Dodgers?
Okay, let's start this from the beginning with last night's game. Number one, Lance Lynn, who probably shouldn't even have been on this postseason series roster, was only pushed in that position because of injuries. He gives up the most homers in the league. After he gives up two, and a guy goes foul on third, get him out of there. You cannot get to three and then four. Number one, that's an issue. Number two, Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman, a combined one for whatever in the entire series in which they didn't win a game, and the only hit was on Freddie Freeman sliding in the first base on the infield, nearly breaking his leg. But more largely, this season was shot when so many of the Dodgers pitching staff went down with injury. Dustin May, Julio Diaz, Tony Gonsolin, they were operating with a skeleton crew from the pitching staff to begin with. So once you got to better competition in the playoffs, you knew they were going to be going up against it, potentially starting guys like rookie Bobby Miller in game one of this series. They had problems construction-wise from the jump, did not help how they executed last night in the desert.
Tim Kalishaw, what went most wrong with these Dodgers?
Well, excellent analysis from our man in L.A. I think he forgot one thing. Dave Roberts can't lift Lance Lynn until he looks at the Andrew Friedman playbook and says, oh, here's where I take the pitcher
Are you suggesting there is a poor construction with this franchise? I'm just suggesting.
I'm just suggesting.
Well, no, that's a real question.
I'm just suggesting
with all the losses
people here. Yes.
Of 100-win teams.
Yeah. Yeah, there are some questions about that. But for me, the whole – and I know the pitching obviously was just a tremendous disaster, but Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman are going to get MVP votes. They had fantastic seasons. They got one hit in three nights. They had some of the softest-looking outs, and this is the second year in a row for Mookie Betts to do this, just not show up in the postseason, which he even said. Those two guys at the top of your lineup have to give you some kind of start to get things going. They did it all year, and they didn't show up against Arizona.
Kevin, you heard from Tim and from Clinton. There's injuries to the pitching staff. And, of course, with Urias, there's the terrible alleged domestic violation again. And he's, of course, nowhere to be found, as he should be. So this team's failure, is it more about this season or what they failed to do over the last full seasons six times? And then, of course, the 1 year they won in the COVID season.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it, and they've all of a sudden become the Atlanta Braves of the early 90s who have all this talent and only have one ring to show for it. But, you know, unlike the Braves, the Braves had pitching that didn't – had great pitching that didn't necessarily nail it down for them. But I just can't overlook the disaster on the mound. Kershaw, Miller, and Lynn, 4 2/3 innings, 16 hits, 13 runs – they gave the team no chance. I mean, how you can't, you don't have any offense necessarily that's going to catch up to that. And then you have a team that can just play, that can play loose and free and easy. Mm-hmm. You have pitchers who can pitch around Freeman and Betts. There's just absolutely no heat on those guys to have to do anything.
Isola, your view of the Dodgers today?
Yeah. I'd love to blame it on Bill Plaschke, but the team did have a $210 million payroll.
Blame it on Bill
Plaschke. That does not give you insurance when what happened, look at their pitching staff for a number of reasons. They didn't have their best guys out there. And it all starts with Kershaw. You know, you don't give them a chance in the first inning of game one. You're getting blown out. So, yes, Freddie Freeman, Mookie Betts, they need to do better than 1-for-21. I understand that. But then you're relying on Lance Lynn on the road. Bob Costas mentioned about 10 times before the game even started. He gives up the most home runs in the league. And what does he do? Four in that one inning, including the one that went foul. The very next pitch by Moreno, it goes out of the park. What a disaster.
Clinton, you're in Los Angeles. Philosophically, is the franchise approaching this the best way?
I don't believe so. What Tim is talking about regarding Friedman potentially being the guy that's the problem, I agree with a lot. You cannot keep putting together 100-win seasons. The Dodgers have never won a World Series when they won 100 games, by the way, and then not come up with World Series wins and tell me that everything is fine and the organization is okay. If your standard is championship or bust, it has been bust more often than not. Be real, Los Angeles, about who.
As it is for every team. Our teams bust more frequently than they win championships. So much goes right in the regular season where players are on a second act, where they're solving guys who struggled elsewhere, to see it all dissipate like it did so quickly at the hands of the Arizona Diamondbacks. Say the name, National Battle. That's some, Tim, give some credit to the winners here.
They pulled an amazing rope-a-dope by basically not showing up the last week of the season and letting the Astros sweep.
That sounds like someone else I know in Texas there, Tim.
Still made the playoffs. Another team in Texas had a rough last weekend. They've righted the ship just as Arizona has. Some really talented young hitters, an excellent bullpen, and you know they're just once you're scoring those first inning and second inning runs, it does become rather easy just to put that team away. But what they're doing is incredible.
Clinton Yates.
Let's not bury the lead. Corbin Carroll is the rookie of the year in the NL and has turned that team into somewhat of a juggernaut with his energy in the outfield. Lovello probably deserves some more manager of the year votes than you think. They got a nice blend of veterans and young guys there.
Frank, they were outscored this season for the entirety of the season, and now they've eliminated two teams via sweep in the playoffs. What is that?
Yeah, and let's remember, they trailed in both games to the Brewers, but they had a lead in all three games against the Dodgers. And against the Dodgers, they had lost 57 games over the last 5 years. They just got hot at the right time. And again, that Dodger pitching went in the toilet.
We've been horned. We're going to move on now to tonight, because tonight is enormous. Atlanta season on the line. The best team in baseball all year, playing at the House of Horrors for them. The best home field advantage in the sport, Citizens Bank. The last three division series games there, Philly 27, Atlanta 6. And this series went to another level now that it's become the Attaboy series. The report that Arcia said Attaboy to Harper while his celebrating teammates were in the clubhouse after Harper's blunder in game two. For that to turn into what we saw last night, the majesty of Harper's home runs and the stare down. Harper to Arcia at second base. Motivation is funny. Sometimes it's real. Sometimes it's exaggerated. Can an attaboy not said directly to you be escalatory and stare down worthy? Arcia has said Harper wasn't supposed to hear it. Atlanta players seem upset that this even got out. Travis d'Arnaud calling the clubhouse a sanctuary, saying they're upset with the media for that. Clinton Yates, what can you tell us you've heard about the attaboy?
I learned this from Frank Isola. Never blame the media. If you're going to be out there making fun of people in front of folks that are doing their job, expect it to get back. And when it gets back to a guy like Harper, a superstar in this league, who even I, as a D.C. native, can admit, is doing 10 times better with the Phillies just as a personality than he ever was, you're going to pay. They have lost the psychological battle of the Phillies. It happened last year as well, and the Phillies ran it all the way to the World Series until they ran into the Astros. So we'll see if the Braves can recover this tonight.
Specifically, though, what have you heard about the exchange of the attaboy? Was it whispered?
Look, what happened?
Was it said? Was it screamed?
It was said in the clubhouse media situation in which people were in the room and everybody could hear it. If every single interaction that we have as media members has to be, is this on the record? Is this off the record? Is this off the record? Is this on the record? Then we would never be able to do our jobs. It's called clubhouse availability for a reason. You walk in, you're on the record. That's it. That's
Frank Isola.
You know, we've written poems about Michael Jordan taking slights or perceived slights and making his opponent look bad. So I don't blame Bryce Harper for anything that he did. But the Atlanta Braves to sit there after the way that they played yesterday and got absolutely destroyed and talk about the sanctuary of our locker room. Once the media is allowed in and you have a player bellowing, as it was described, attaboy Harper, attaboy, that is 100% fair game. In fact, if you don't write that, I would have a problem with you as an editor.
Tonight is enormous, Kevin. Game four. I told you the stats of what Philly does in their home ballpark. Can Atlanta come back from what has been a huge letdown in this series?
You know what? I think they can. And let's not forget, this is a soul snatcher of a series, because I thought a soul was snatched in game two in inning eight and inning nine. Yeah. And now here we are to see it flip. But you know what? They have the perfect anecdote for this. They got the strikeout king on the mound tonight, a guy who is 6-1 in his last seven starts, a guy who can get it done with strikeouts against a team that was eighth most in strikeouts in the league this year. So Strider is the perfect person to flip the script right now and change this series once
again. Tim Kalashon tonight.
The only thing as to what KB said is they've had a number of games where they had the superior pitcher and all kinds of reasons.
Game one.
They should have won games in Philadelphia last year and this year, and they haven't been able to do it. And I don't think they're going to do it tonight either. I don't know how a team in their own division gets in their head as much as they do. They play there all the time. They used to play them 19 times a year. Now it's 13, but they are in their head. And I think
Clinton, would you agree Philly is in Atlanta's head? Would you agree Citizens Bank is a house of horrors for Atlanta, and they don't get out tonight?
It's easily the best home field advantage in the bigs at this point for teams left in the playoffs. Strider, over the past couple years, has moved away from his fastball up to more sliders. Trust your stuff, buddy. That's how you're going to beat this team. I think the Braves probably can win tonight, but the Phillies definitely take this.
And Frank Isola.
Most home runs in baseball since August 1st. The Phillies playing in that building tonight. Atlanta, good luck.
Horn, we're taking a break. Buy or sell next on the other side. Texas forever, Astros and Rangers coming up, and the Las Vegas Aces near perfect last night. We've got to talk about that next.
Around the Horn is presented by Truly Hard Seltzer. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
The Super Team Finals. But when I called it that, I should have said only one can be from the Super Region of France. Everything else is just sparkling tea. What a breathtaking display from the super sparkling Las Vegas Aces last night, dismantling New York. The offensive efficiency was at 200 for most of the first quarter, didn't let up. The balance of attack, Wilson, Young, Gray, Plum. Could this be the best finals game we've ever seen from a team? It's 2-0 now. It ain't over. It goes to New York. But where is Breanna Stewart? Where is Sabrina Ionescu? It's been Jonquel Jones for the Liberty and not so much else. Frank, it ain't over, but does it feel that way?
You sounded like Seinfeld. What's the deal with the Liberty?
They always sound like
they
Seinfeld.
They hadn't lost consecutive games until the WNBA Finals, where they've lost game one and game two. And I just think the Aces are too big, too physically strong, and too skillful. And we talked about perceived slights. How about Becky Hammon talking about Asia Wilson not being the MVP of the league, but it was Breanna Stewart? I'm not big into plus minus unless it suits my argument. Breanna Stewart, a minus 27. Asia Wilson, a plus 31. Wow.
Kevin Blackstone.
In my fantasy, I would like to see these aces play Cynthia Cooper, Cheryl Swoops, Comets from the 97, 98, 99, okay, yeah, 2000. I think that would be the championship of all WNBA championships. With this team, absolutely, they have size, they have speed, they can score at will, just like the Comets could. So I'm not ready to give them the crown as best WNBA team of all time, but they sure are looking like it right now.
Mm. Tim Kalishaw.
There was a point in the third quarter where it's still a 10-point game. The Liberty thinks they're hanging in. And Jackie Young, who's, what, the third or fourth best player on the Aces, scores on consecutive three-point plays, just breaking down the defense. She made another one later. She ended up with 24. So when Wilson, Plum, and Young are all going, they got no chance.
And Clinton Yates.
Yeah, and that montage we just showed, it was in the first quarter. They were already up by 15. Liberty doing everything they can to force a shot at the end of the shot clock. Boom, throw it up, goes in. It just wasn't happening. And by the way, Kevin, sure, you can take the Comets, but when actual members of the Comets, like Cynthia Cooper-Dyker, on the sidelines with their mouths agape, I'm going to go with what the legends are looking at as the best team
I've seen so far. It is breathless.
I hear you.
I think we said this in our preview yesterday. New York had an advantage in rebounding and needs to have an advantage in rebounding. In their previous games, when they split the series, it was 3-3 going into yesterday. You don't need to rebound if you hit every shot you take.
Exactly.
I mean, Frank, though, Brianna Stewart's the MVP, and Sabrina Ionescu has not had a good postseason.
No, they've been completely outplayed. And you mentioned, look at the Liberty defensively. The numbers that the Aces put up last night. Ionescu and Stewart are going to have to respond big on Sunday at Barclays Center.
Buy or sell to how the Astros beat the Twins. And what that sets up now, an ALCS with the Rangers, that's Texas forever. Some of you doubted Houston, the champs, and here they are in their seventh straight league championship series. It was something they said in the sanctuary, but other people heard it. Tim, are the Asteroids back to being the Asteroids?
I think they are. Now, they've never had to go through Arlington to get where they want to go. We'll see how that plays out next week. But they had two big things happen for them. One is Abreu, who's had no power the last couple of years.
He's
hit three home
year,
runs in Minnesota. So he lengthens that lineup. And big starts from Javier and Urquidy. If they can have that after Verlander and Valdez, then that at least makes them equal to the Rangers in starting pitching, and they have a better bullpen.
Mm-hmm. Clinton Yates.
I love this matchup because it's got the two old guys who were hanging out together during the winter meetings when the signing was first made. It's like old school baseball again. But
you mean Dusty Baker, Bruce Bochy, or you mean Justin Verlander and Max Scherzer?
That's a good question, Tony. I like it. But I do think that Verlander coming back was a big part of this season for the Astros. It indicated to them, we've got a chance. Yeah, the guys that can do it want to get back. And we're going to go ahead. I love this series so far. It's going to be fun.
Frank Isola.
Since 2017, the Astros have the most playoff wins, playoff home runs, playoff RBIs. They've been dominant before, during, and after the scandal. Give them a little bit of credit here.
And Kevin Blackstone.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I had no doubt that this was a good team.
You had no doubt. Okay, I remember everybody picking Seattle about 3 weeks ago, okay?
Oh, no, I was not a part of that. And look at what Dusty Baker has done since he's been there. Let's give Dusty some credit for cleaning up this mess and getting this ship back on the track that it needs to be on. This is a great
team. Get the ship back on the track? Or ship's on track, sir? The train's on the track.
Yeah, that's one of those.
They go around the ships go around the horn, I believe, is what they do. Wait a second. You said I sound like Seinfeld. No pick! Nobody made a pick in this series.
What?
Give me something, Tim.
Astros.
All right.
I had the Astros.
I'm going to give you, it's going to be a great series. It's going to go seven games. These two teams are playing really.
Bill Plaschke, I'm talking to you. You see what you've done to everybody now? You've scared them away from making picks. Tim was still talking there. Okay, it doesn't matter. Clinton Yates and Frank Isola. We got a showdown to get to.
Astros.
After the break.
Astros.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Around the Horn is presented by Truly Hard Seltzer. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour. And in part by Sotik2. Find it at Sotik2.com.
The photo of Connor Bedard holding up the puck from his first goal. You can work on the joy a little bit. First two games, one goal, one assist, one lost stick. Before the first game, though, he said he didn't lose it. Maybe the team was pranking him and hit it from him. Who knows? What should he remember most, and how has the Connor Bedard experience been going for you, Clay?
It's going well, and I love this kid's reaction. He's 18 years old. He's standing like you look when your parents force you to pose next to something that you've never been to that they remember from their lives.
I'll give you that.
You just got it done.
Very good, yeah.
I'll tell you what. He looks 18, that's for sure. Great job by the league office to get this guy out there in front of Sidney Crosby, then the Bruins. You'd want to go see Connor Bedard. That's must-see television right there. It's been a great
start. I kind of love his personality. I know he said he could smile for the photo, but I love his personality because he's saying, enough of me, all right? He wants to just play. That's great. Right. We'll move on. Thursday night football, Broncos, Kansas City. Travis Kelce expected to play. Denver's terrible, horrible, no good, very bad start. Now gets a primetime game again. Frank, what are you watching for tonight?
Yeah. Everyone's going to talk about Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, but the more authentic relationship is that between Sean Payton and Russell Wilson. Look at the way that Sean Payton is looking at him right there. That's what I want to see tonight.
Wow, that's a great answer.
Yeah, but the person I want to see celebrity-wise who's been in all the memes is Kevin James, who actually played the football coach of Sean Payton in the movie, because Sean Payton has been dissing everybody left and right and hasn't been able to get anything done for the Broncos. Come on.
We'll move on. Showdown 3, Kirk Cousins. Not want to answer questions about whether he'd waive his no-trade clause.
Kirk, is there any scenario where you would waive your no-trade clause before the trade deadline?
You know, I'm just very focused on the Bears and going 1-0 this week, and anything else is just not worth my
Clinton, how do you hear that?
Your attention.
Just like everything else I've heard from Kirk Cousins in his career outside of one outburst for Washington, even keeled, get the money, play the game, be mediocre, and that's what he's going to stick with. That's who Kirk Cousins is. I'm not mad at him.
Right, Gasola?
If you're Kirk Cousins, you're not going to sit there and start saying, yeah, I'd love to be traded. What would you be telling the rest of the locker room? The smart thing for him and for the Vikings at this point is to trade him, obviously.
All right, where's he going, Frank?
You like that.
Where's he going, Frank? Where's he? I knew you were going to say that. I knew you were going to do that. Clinton Yates, you just walked into a win.
This week, Reebok named Shaquille O'Neal as their president of basketball, and he did one thing which was fantastic. He came right out and he named Allen Iverson as the VP, and he said, I don't want to get this wrong. AI is a founding father of Reebok basketball and has left a lasting impact on the game and its surrounding culture. I had three pairs of the answers in high school. We'll never forget that commercial with Jadakiss. AI being back in the fold for a brother like me who grew up loving basketball in the 90s. We love to see this, man. Good job, Shaq, and glad that Bubba Chuck's back in the fold.
So you said you had three pairs of the answers?
Yeah.
You ever have any of the Shaqs?
No, not for me.
Norm, the Shaqs and the Ewings.
It's just like ski boots.
Get run a 23.5-hour break. We'll see you tomorrow.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.